Drinking from the spring of living water every Monday during the Bible study of the Deeper Christian Life Ministry is such an enriching experience that affords you an unforgettable encounter with God and His Word. The vibrant General Superintendent of the Ministry, Pastor W.F. Kumuyi, is a renowned minister and teacher of the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, having traveled worldwide for the propagation of the Gospel. Each contact with his ministration gives you the privilege of joining our thirsty and expectant congregation to receive the bread of life, which satisfies the body, soul, and spirit through anointed messages filled with unction of the Holy Ghost. This message will transform you and help to deepen your walk with God and your service to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sit back as we present to you the unchanging Word of God through His minister, whose entire life revolves around the preaching of the gospel of salvation and purity of life, in preparation for life here and hereafter. Let's welcome Pastor W.F. Kumuyi.
In Jesus' name we pray. Are you there? I said, in Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you once again for bringing us safe and sound to the Bible study tonight. Thank you for all our brothers and sisters, all our young people, everyone here, and in all the locations where we're hearing your word tonight. Lord, we pray through this teaching of the word, you strengthen us for the hour of trial and temptation in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, the spirit of the conqueror that triumphs over temptation, trial, and trouble. Lord, we pray you grant to every one of us in Jesus' name. In the home where the Christian wife is suffering, in the home where the Christian believer, the husband, might be suffering, in the home where the children who believe in the Lord might be persecuted in the place of work, where the pressures and persecution may be there, in the community where your people are facing the fire of persecution of this day, Lord, we pray tonight you strengthen everyone in Jesus' name. I will pray, Lord, that we'll not bow or bend under whatever kind of persecution. That, Lord, we'll be standing firm for you till the very end in Jesus' name. Holding fast the word of faith, the word of truth, which you have taught us. That, Lord, in every community, darkness will be dispelled before us. And the light will shine forth through us. And the people of the world, through your power, your protection, and through your glory in our lives, they will know that we have been with the Lord. Strengthen your people tonight, O Lord. And help us, Lord, when that hour comes when we have to declare who we are, whom we serve. Lord, we pray, we will not cringe, will not be crushed, will not be conquered. I will be standing firm in the grace of the Lord, in the strength of the Spirit of the Lord, in Jesus' name. Be with everyone, Lord. Help us to become stronger as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. We're looking at Daniel chapter 3 tonight. And once again, I welcome every one of you. I praise the Lord for those who are coming for the first time. And I pray that the study of the word will be beneficial to every one of you and every one of us in Jesus' name. In Daniel chapter 3, we have two studies already, and we have seen Nebuchadnezzar the king, the emperor, a tyrant, an idol worshiper, calling the whole nation, the whole dominion, the whole realm, all the places where he had any authority and any contact, calling them that they should come and worship the idol that they had set up. And the people were so afraid and so intimidated because he threatened them. He said, anybody that will not listen to him, anybody that will not fall down and worship his idol at that same hour, he'll be caught and then he'll be thrown into the burning fire, a furnace of fire. Then he said to these ones that will not beg, that will not bow, that will not give any attention to what he had said. He said, Who is that God that will deliver you out of my hand? That was a great question. A question he shouldn't have asked, even in his wildest imagination, to challenge the God of heaven. That was a great thing coming out of the mouth of a creature on earth. And the Lord answered him by great manifestation of his majesty, glory, and power. That's what we're looking at tonight. I want you to look at Daniel chapter 3, and I'm reading verse 15. Now, if ye be ready, at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have set, which I have made. Well, what he meant by that is, I'll pardon you for your foolishness of the past, for not bowing down when I told you to bow down. If you will reconsider and then turn around, and then you change your mind and change your decision, and you bow down to worship my idol, that will be all right. I'll just overlook what happened in the past. Then he said, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? That was the question he asked. It was the time of his madness, spiritual madness. It was a time of foolishness for him, spiritual foolishness, for him to ask a question like that. Even to think about something like that, to allow the thought in your mind to challenge the Almighty God. He was looking for trouble. He got it eventually. Some kinds of questions naturally provoke God to action. Such questions might intimidate fearful people, but such questions embolden the people who are full of faith and they are faithful to their God. What a question he asked. It is a question that always provokes divine action. A question that produces supernatural miracle. A question that demands the manifestation of God's supremacy and God's extraordinary power. When unbelieving despots, tyrants, wicked people, when they ask such questions, God always responds to protect his own glory and then to silence such blasphemers. And then, you know what the people of God said? They said, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us out of your hand. I want to tell you that God has not changed. Today, he's still able. When persecutors threaten you, when idol worshippers threaten you, when evil people threaten you, whether they threaten you with words or with action, whether they threaten you with their look or with their machinery, whatever it is, when the wicked people of the world, when they threaten you so that they can bend your will, bow your mind, make you fall down and worship them or worship their image, you can stand like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and you can declare, my God for myself is able to deliver me, and he will deliver me. And so eventually, when they answered him like that, he became more furious, became very much angry. And then, that's what we're reading today, he threw them into the fire. See what happened. I'm reading from chapter 3, verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage changed. Again, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. He was very angry. In his anger, he lost his senses. He wanted to punish the people, and he wanted the punishment to be very serious, to be very painful. Well, didn't you know that if you heat the furnace 7 times hotter and you throw the people inside, they should die instantly. It will lessen the moment of their pain. It will lessen the period of their pain. His anger got into his brain, and he forgot that. So you see, when people are angry, they forget their intention and they forget their very purpose. But that's what he did. In verse 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Wonderful that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not even resist. Neither did they cry. Neither did they complain. Neither did they begin to pray a kind of prayer they had never prayed before. They were calm. They were composed. They were patient, they were peaceful, looking for what God will do. Then in verse 21, these men were bound in their coats, and their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning, very furnace. Therefore, in verse 22, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar lost some of his mighty men. The people that fight against the children of God, they are the people that will suffer. But the children of God will still remain alive. Even in the fire, even in the persecution, we're going to still remain alive in Jesus' name. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bowed into the midst of the burning, very furnace. Then the cadence of the king was astonished. He was surprised, shocked, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. I answered and said, lo, I see four men bound, lying down, loose, and walking in the midst of the fire. We can walk in the midst of the fire. Whatever fire this world is building up, whatever persecution, fiery persecution this world is trying to make, and whatever instrument this world is trying to use to destroy your life, you can stand erect and walk and looking up as a person that has seen the glory of God. And you will walk in that fire in Jesus' name. It says, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning, fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. You know, now he said, God is the Most High God. He realized, not even up to one day now, when he challenged God, just a few hours, that he challenged God. And then he knew that these Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were not just children of God, they were servants of the Most High God. And he told them to come forth, and they came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, and the governors, and the captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was any air of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of the fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and deliver the servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language who shall speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Amen? Amen. He confessed it eventually. He was conquered. God will conquer every enemy, every persecutor. The Lord will conquer them in Jesus' name. What happened to these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? after passing the test, after going through the furnace of fire, after taking an uncompromising stand, after living through the persecution, what then happened to them? Verse 30. Then the king did what? Promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. That is what the Lord is revealing to us. And the Lord is proving to us that he is able. If anyone challenges God in your life, that's the time for you to prove that the promises of God are still yes and amen. And you'll come out and come through triumphantly in Jesus' name. We divided the message tonight, the study tonight, to three parts. Number one, the persecution of non-conformists in the fiery furnace. The persecution of non-conformists in the fiery furnace. Number two, the protection of new creatures in the fiery furnace. The protection of new creatures in the fiery furnace. Number three, the promotion of noble conquerors after fearless faithfulness. The promotion of noble conquerors after fearless faithfulness. We're looking at number one, the persecution of nonconformists in the fiery furnace. These men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, actually they were young men, and they were faithful. We call them non-conformists. Who are the non-conformists? The people that will not conform to the principles of this world. Who are the non-conformists? The people that will not conform to the practices of this world. Who are the non-conformists? The people that say no to the world. In Romans chapter 12, I'm reading from verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what they did. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, if we have to defend the truth, our very body, if we have to defend our conviction with our very life, if we have to defend what we're standing for with our very existence, that will do. Lord, we give our body to you as a sacrifice, if it need be. Those are the people who can stand in the time of persecution. But you know, the people that pet, pamper themselves, and the people that care too much about themselves, they're not willing to sacrifice anything. They're the people, they're like the jellyfish. They have no backbone, and they cannot stand. But you know, the people who say, I don't care for anything. If I have it all right, if I don't have it all right, my time, my life, my body, everything, I'm willing to sacrifice so that I can defend the truth and the glory of the Lord. Those are the people that are victorious, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not what? Conformed. Those are the non-conformists. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're looking at three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They proved what is the perfect, acceptable will of God by not conforming unto the world. Persecution will come, but God loves faithful, uncompromising believers, non-conformists who refuse to be conformed to this world at God's delight. Yet we must remember that the world and the God of this world, they hate whatever and whoever God loves. Nebuchadnezzar, the Gentile king, was enraged by the refusal of these three faithful people to worship his image. In his rage, he made a strange and cruel sin, a kind of punishment that never anybody has seen in the world. And these saintly servants of God remained calm, patient, constant, peaceful in their devotion to God. they knew that God had power to deliver them from death, or if he desired, he could take them to a better place than this world. He could deliver them from the despot forever. Because of that, they took their stand. And this Nebuchadnezzar the king, he was furious, was very angry, and a great intensity of the heat of his fury could not be satisfied without a great intensity of heat in the furnace. His anger was visible, because we're told in his rage was full of fury, and the form of his appearance, countenance, visage changed. He was betrayed in the whole comportment. And the countenance, through that countenance, he ordered that the heat of the furnace be increased to the highest possible degree. Passion overdoes and defeats its own end, its own goal, its own purpose. Because the hotter the fire, the sooner were they likely to be put out of pain. But eventually, that's what he commanded. We need not be frightened by the rage, by the anger, by the fury, by the device of the persecutors. And you know, sometimes when you see people who are angry, then you become afraid. That's their nature. That's their nature. Dogs will bark. That's its nature. And the lions will roar. That's their nature. And the birds will fly. That's their nature. And sinners will get angry. That's all right. That's their nature. Sinners will sin. And when you don't please them, they'll show their anger. And so it shouldn't surprise you. What makes us have a surprise is when you're looking for a sinner to be nice. And you're looking for an idol worshiper to be gentle. And you're looking for a Nebuchadnezzar to be calm and peaceful and loving. You're looking for something impossible. That's why I become shocked. But we need not be frightened of the rage or the fury or the device of the persecutors. After all, the persecution cannot burn us, cannot destroy us, cannot crush us. In that persecution, only what they use to bind us will burn away. Persecution purifies. Persecution preserves the true children of God. Persecution revives the dormant faith in some promises of God that have been forgotten. Persecution brings God's omnipotence and faithfulness nearer in manifestation. Persecution drives us to prayer, and persecution makes us to now depend on God more than ever before. Now I want to ask you a question. Who was the persecutor here? Who? Nebuchadnezzar. I'm asking another question now, but don't answer. I'll show you in the Bible. Who are the persecutors today? Because Nebuchadnezzar is gone. And many of us will not get to any king, any emperor. Many of us will not get to live with any president to persecute us. Who are the persecutors today? And let's look at Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, I'm reading from verse 21 and verse 22. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Those are the persecutors today. Number one, they could be parents that will deliver their children to death. They'll say, I wish the child will die. He's gone away from the religion in which he was born. Is going to take the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And so the father or the mother or the two together, they may persecute. Not only that, relatives or relations may persecute. Because it says, and the brother shall deliver brother to death. You know, sometimes it's your own brother, it's your own sister, it's the same person you are born out of the same place. That will persecute you because now you are following the Lord, and it's shocking them that you are not following the family idol anymore. Sometimes it's the child that will persecute the parent. Jesus said so. Look at verse 21. It says, and the children shall rise up against their parents. Sometimes children, they persecute the parents. For the parents standing firm and saying, in this home, in this house, this will be the standard of righteousness. In this house, this will be the practice. It might be on some simple, simple things like dressing. It might be on some simple, simple things that
This home, this house will not have all the gadgets of the world. The television. It might be on this, on that. And then the children will bind up themselves and then they are going to say, if this is going to be so, we're going to make life inconvenient for the parents. You know, frustration comes in various ways. But we're told in verse 22, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, I will endure to the end. He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Let's look at John chapter 16. Who are the persecutors today? Because Nebuchadnezzar is not here to persecute you. Who are the people that may persecute you, that may stand in the place of Nebuchadnezzar? We're looking at John chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. They shall put you out of the synagogues, religious people. You are going to that church before, and you discover that they were not preaching salvation. Now you've come to know the Lord as your personal Savior, and you are not going there anymore. And those priests, and those preachers, and those prophets, then they begin to persecute you and the people of that synagogue and that church. It says they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth service to God. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. Because they don't have salvation, that's why they persecute. I'm looking at John chapter 15 verse 18, all through to verse 20. If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world will love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. The persecutor here is the world, the worldly minded people. Because we don't want to take part in their parties. We don't want to take part in their idol worship. We're not taking part in their fashion. We're not taking part in all the things they delight in, the people of the world. And because we say we're going to please the Lord, and we're not going to please the men and the women of the world, therefore the world will hate you. Remember verse 20, the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Yes, they will persecute. They are the people of the world. They are worldly people. Worldly minded people will persecute heavenly minded people. Galatians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 29. Galatians chapter 4, and we're reading verse 29. Here it says, but as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. So it is now. That's the distinction of persecutors. The people that are still of the flesh, they are not of the spirit. Anyone you see persecuting a believer, persecuting a child of God, that's of the flesh. It's not born again. And the works of the flesh will kill you. He said, as it was at that time, even so it is now. He that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so it is now. Acts of the Apostles chapter 13. They persecute us today. Acts chapter 13. I'm reading from verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God shall first have been spoken to you. But see, ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. The Jews, they didn't accept the word of God. And Paul the apostle became bold. He said, now, you are the one that have put salvation away from yourself. And because you have rejected eternal life, you have rejected heaven, you have rejected the Savior, you have rejected the Lord, we're turning to the Gentiles. Verse 47, for so have the Lord commanded us, saying, I have said thee to, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to have eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. Who are the persecutors there? The jealous people, the envious people. They rejected the truth. They rejected salvation. And so Paul and Barnabas said, we're not going to be wasting our life and wasting our time for the people that do not want the truth. Alright, since we have rejected it, we turn to the Gentiles. And so they went to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles were so happy, they were so excited, and they received the word of life, and they became saved. When the Jews rejected the gospel and they rejected eternal life, when they saw that the Gentiles got what they didn't have, they were jealous, they were envious, and the jealousy and the envy led them to persecution. You see, when people persecute, maybe you have something they don't have. And because you have something they don't have, that's the reason why they persecute. The jealousy leads them into that kind of persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 12 all through to verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're reading from verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Who are the people that persecute? Evil people. Good people never persecute. Saved people never persecute. And the righteous people will never persecute. Daniel did not persecute Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Never. Shadrach did not persecute Meshach and Abednego. Never. It's the unbeliever. It's the wicked people. It's the evil people. It's the seducers that persecute. If you find anybody persecuting another person, that's an unbeliever. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned that and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Now that we know the people that persecute, you know the reason why they persecute? Because we reject what they say. I want you to come back to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. And then you will see what happened here. And how Nebuchadnezzar handled the matter. How he responded and reacted to the thing that was happening. Daniel chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times hotter, more than it was wont to be heated. And that's the persecution there. And why did he persecute them? Why did he throw them into the fire? Well, because they wanted to serve their God. They didn't steal. They didn't commit adultery. They didn't commit fornication. They didn't embarrass the king in any other way. And they didn't hurt him in any way. They were good people, righteous people, believing people, faithful people, uncompromising people, non-conformists in the land. And that angered the king. That's all. That's all that angered him. They were good people, righteous people. They were pure people. They were people that were devoted and loyal to the God of heaven. And it is that devotion and loyalty to the God of heaven that made Nebuchadnezzar angry. Let me show you how it happens to other people in 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm reading verses 1 and 2. 1 Kings chapter 19 verses 1 and 2. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. All that Elijah had done, you know the story. What did Elijah do? He prayed. Should we persecute somebody for praying? What did Elijah do? He stopped 3.5 years of famine by his prayer. What did Elijah do? He brought the nation back to God. If God be God, worship him. If Baal, worship him. What did Elijah do? He prayed and fire came down from heaven. What did Elijah do? He stamped out false worship. Baal worship. Out of the land. That's all he did. It was to seek the glory of God. And that is why persecution arose. You see, in your own life, when you're standing for righteousness, you pray, that's what they don't like. And then you stand for the truth, that's what they don't like. You exalt the glory and the majesty of the God of heaven, that's what they don't like. And you glorify the living God, the most high God, that's what they don't like. That's why they persecuted Elijah. And it says, when he had told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and with that, how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time. Chapter 21 of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 21 verse 2. And he has spake unto Naboth, saying, give me the vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for each a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of each in money. And Naboth said unto Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. That's why they devised the means by which they were going to persecute him. That's all he did. That's all he did. He said, that's my inheritance. I'm not going to give my inheritance that I got from my father. I'm not going to give that to you. That's it. That's all. And that's why Jezebel and Ahab conspired together, and then they wanted to get rich of the man. You have property. You have a house. And somebody says, can you sell the house? I'm sorry. I inherited this. This is what my heavenly father has given me to inherit. I'm not going to give it up. That's why they persecute. That's all. And God has given you, he's giving you life eternal. He's giving you some position. He's giving you certificate. He's giving you some good things in life. And then they want to take it away from you. You say, no, this is the inheritance from my father. I'm not going to give up this. That's why they persecute. Look at our girls, our daughters in the school. One boy says, give me your body. Hey, no, this is the temple of God. I'm not going to give my inheritance. I'm not going to give my purity unto any boy. I am for the Lord. That's why they persecute those daughters. And then a boy is, you know, walking with the Lord. And then these girls, they say, I want to be your girlfriend. And I want you to defile your body. And the boy says, never. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm not going to give my purity. I'm not going to give the holiness that Jesus Christ purchased on the cross of Calvary. I'm not going to give that to any girl or any boy. That's why they persecute them. And that's the reason they still persecute today. If you know your inheritance, if you know your right, if you know your possession, if you know what God has given you, and the people of the world, they want that thing, and they want to just make it like rubbish and trample it on the ground, and say, no, I'm not going to give that to anybody. That is why they persecute. But it's the persecutors that will suffer. Because the Lord will stand with us. If you are a non-conformist and you're not bent, you're not bowed to the wishes of the enemy, the Lord will stay by you and the Lord will keep you in Jesus' name. We're not going to the New Testament now. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. We're looking at verse 17. Mark 6, 17. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake. His brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. That's all he said. What's wrong in that? That's good counseling. That's good counseling. Just because of counseling him, Herod, how could you do that? Your brother, Philip, are you not of the same parents? And then you take his wife, do unto others as you want them to do unto you. You wouldn't have loved it if he had taken your wife, would you? That's all he said. That's all he said. It is not right for you. It is not lawful for you to take your brother's wife. Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him. But she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that was a just man. He knew. He knew he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. But you know, it's because of preaching the truth and standing for the truth. That is why the persecution came. I'm looking at Acts of the Apostles chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I'm looking at it from verse 19. What happened here is that Paul the Apostle was Silas. And then there was this lady that had a familiar spirit, a spirit of divination. And then she was crying after Paul and Silas, saying, these are the men of God who show unto us the way of salvation. But Paul the Apostle knew that these were the work of an evil spirit. And therefore he turned and said, let that evil spirit come out of her. And eventually, that lady was delivered. Let's look at it in Acts of the Apostles chapter 16. I'm reading from verse 18. And this did she many days. But Paul being grieved turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Look at what follows in verse 19. And when a master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. Well, if you read on, that's how the persecution came. Why? It tells us in verse 19, when they saw that the hope of their gains was gone. That's why they persecuted them. The hope of their gains gone. You are walking in a place, and in that place where you are walking, before you came in there, the people, well, if they say they are going to buy something, somebody will go out, they call them various names, they call them, say, maybe a purchase officer or whatever. And then as they go out, something that is about 100,000 naira, they come back and bring a receipt of 800,000. On just that single deal, they want to make 700,000. And then you come in there, and you appear to have been working in another place before you came to this new company. And then you see what they're saying, all these exorbitant receipts. Say, no, it cannot be. So you go to the director and say, director, if we're spending like this company is not going to move forward. And so eventually they say, do you know where they sell this, where they sell? Yes, I know. And then you go and buy it. They used to bring, 900,000, 1.3 million receipt or whatever. And now you come back and it's just about 123,000. And then you have the receipt for it. And the same quality of what they've been buying before. And then they now say, okay, it looks like you know to make a good deal, a good bargain. And now they shift you to that section. You're now the purchasing officer. And you're going up and down buying those things. You know what? The other people will see that the hope of their gains is gone. And because of that, they'll persecute you. And they'll say all manner of things about you. If you are not, wise and careful, they might even go beyond just talking about you, and they might do some terrible things because of money, and because you have taken their hope of gains away from them. That's why they persecute. You know, it's because we're standing for righteousness. It's because we stand faithful, and we say, no, we're not going to cheat our company. We're not going to cheat our place of work. That's where we're getting our salary. We're going to be faithful. And that is what makes them angry. But whether they are angry or not, we stand for righteousness. and we're going to keep on defending the righteousness and the glory of God anywhere we find ourselves, in Jesus' name. I want to tell you something. There are some believers now, they're now cringing, and they have crawled into their kind of shed, because they try to be faithful, and when all those people saw that the hope of their gain is gone, and they pursued them in little, they say, oh, I don't want to get into trouble. After all, it's not my money. If they are taking the money from the company, if they are taking the money from, you know, all those people, and they are making all the unlawful gain, that's their business. And then you keep quiet. Because now they have conquered, they have silenced you. You are not like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You are terrified. You are trembling. You are intimidated. You are fearful. You are frightened. That's why you are no more standing. If you were like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you say, I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. I don't care how they feel. This unlawful gain, as long as I'm in this company, it will stop, and it will stop. And eventually, whatever their persecution, the Lord will exalt you and promote you. We're going to point number two now. We're looking at the protection. I'm saying the Lord will protect you. And the Lord will preserve you unto his eternal glory in Jesus' name. Point number two. We're going to point number two now. We're looking at the protection. I'm saying the Lord will protect you. And the Lord will preserve you unto his eternal glory in Jesus' name. Point number two, the protection of new creatures in the fiery furnace. We're looking at Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. The protection of new creatures in the fiery furnace. In Daniel chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 23. It says in verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Then he answered and said unto the true king, he answered and said, lo, I see who? Four men walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. Nebuchadnezzar, you see yourself, you thought you could hurt them. I'll hurt you. I'll kill you. I'll destroy you. I'll persecute you. If you don't stop taking your stand for righteousness and holiness and being firm and steadfast in the truth, I will hurt you. You cannot hurt a child of God. I said nobody can hurt a child of God, because only the will of God will be done. If the will of God is that your fire will not burn, your fire will not burn. Because the children of God will stand on the promises of God. And this is our Father's land. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. And that any other person here, they are tenants in the house of our Father. We are the children of the Heavenly Father, and all those people that are just tenants on earth, and they are not even paying their house rent, and they are not paying to our Heavenly Father the honor and the glory due unto him. They are debtors. How can a debtor living in our Father's house as a tenant, who is not paying his due to the Heavenly Father, then he's threatening us, the children of God, and he wants to drive us out of the house of our Father? It will never happen. I said it will never happen. We will keep on defending our Father. How can I allow a mere tenant, who is not even faithful enough to pay his house due, to insult my Father? And then he intimidates me. He wants me to join him to mock my Father and insult my Father. I say, God forbid. And for you, I say, God forbid. Well, we'll take our stand. And eventually, God convinced Nebuchadnezzar. And then he said, I see. And I see these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They have no thought. And the form of the fourth is like the son of God. And then he says, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, hey, look up here. Before this time, in the first few verses, the idol was the center of attraction. And the idol was everything that everybody focused on. And the musicians, idolatrous musicians, were the people everybody focused on. At this point now, who is the center of attraction? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You will become the center of attraction. When you take your stand, when you say, I'm not going to bow, I'm not going to bend, they and their idol and their image may be the attraction now, the center of attraction now. But if you take your stand, when the Lord himself, when he will glorify his own name, and when he will preserve your life, and when God himself will fulfill his promise in your life, you will be the exalted one. You'll be the promoted one. You will not bend to them. They will come and see the glory of God in your life in Jesus' name. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors being gathered together. So these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an ear of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. See what God had done. He fulfills his own promise. He will fulfill that promise in your life. In Isaiah chapter 43. I'm reading from verse 2. Isaiah 43 verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And so the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, when thou dost what? Walkest. They were walking in the fire. That's the promise God fulfilled for them. It will be fulfilled for you. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. It tells us in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, we're reading from verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And it says, and he looked, and behold, the bush burnt with fire. And the bush was not consumed. That's talking about the nation of Israel. You see, Pharaoh tried to persecute them with real terrible persecution. It was like fire, but they were not consumed, because the more he tormented them and the more he persecuted them, the more they were growing. The more this world is against you, the more you are going to prosper. And the more you are going to grow. And you'll be going stronger and stronger, even in their persecution, in Jesus' name. Look at Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. I'm reading from verse 12. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. The more they persecuted, the more they afflicted, the more they tried to put pressure on them, the more they made them do rigorous things. It says, the more they multiplied and grew. And then it says in that verse 12, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. We have read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let's see the New Testament commentary concerning them. In Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Reading from verse 33. Hebrews 11 verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. The lions of this world trying to devour you because they don't like your righteous life. You silence them and you will stop their mouths. Quench the violence of fire. Quench the violence of fire. And that's talking about the people we're reading of. That is about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we have the same promise of God today, that in the midst of persecution, in the midst of the fiery furnace, the Lord will keep us faithful until the very end in Jesus' name. I'm reading Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Matthew chapter 10. We're looking at it from verse 29. Matthew 10, verse 29. It says, "And are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Just like a calf, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. "And not an hair of their head was singed." The same thing the Lord is saying, even the hairs of your head, they are all numbered, and nothing will hurt you in Jesus' name. In Luke chapter 21, I'm reading from verse 17. Luke chapter 21. And we're looking at verse 17 and verse 18. Luke 21, verse 17. "And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish." Give me a good amen. It says, and they'll hate you. Now, why are you afraid of people hating you? Because you thought their hatred will take something away from you. Their hatred will make you lose something. But no. The hatred of the people of the world cannot make you to lose anything. It says, even the hairs of your head, they are all numbered. Not a single strain of the hair of your head will perish because of the hatred of the people of the world. If the hatred of the people of the world are not effective, if they are useless, if they are worthless, if they can do nothing against you, why are you going to be afraid of something that cannot hurt you? Therefore, it means that whatever hatred they manifest, it will not take your prosperity away. It will not take your happiness away. It will not take the glory of God in your life away. It's a waste of their time. But they don't know. They don't know. It's a waste of their time to ever be after you, to want to hurt you. Nobody will be able to hurt you. Because they that are with us are more than they that be with them. In Jude, verse 9. Jude. We're looking at verse 9. And then you'll see the Lord's ability to be able to keep his own. Not Jude, I'm reading 2 Peter. Open your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. If you are godly, the Lord has the wisdom to deliver you, and he will deliver you. And then it says, "And to reserve the unjust, the sinner, the unrighteous, the unbeliever, until the day of judgment to be punished." The Lord is on your side. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I'm reading verse 18. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. "And the Lord shall deliver you from every evil work, and will preserve you unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." We're coming back to the Old Testament now, and we're looking at 2 Kings. We're looking at 2 Kings, I'm reading chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. And we're reading from verse 14. "Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, and foes compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, what shall we do?" What a question. Alas, my master, trouble is near. Persecution is near. The king of Assyria has sent his soldiers to come and arrest you and arrest us. We're in trouble. What shall we do? There's nothing to do. Christ has done everything. I said Christ has paid the whole price. your protection, your preservation, your provision, everything you need. Christ has paid the whole price. What shall we do? That's not the question. We rest in Him. Rest in the arms of Jesus. Rest in the bosom of Jesus. He has done everything. Look at the next verse in verse 16. And He said, fear not. I come to tell you tonight, fear not. I said, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. Look at verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open their eyes, open his eyes, that she may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire round about Elisha. The Lord will protect you. I'm looking at Psalm 34, I'm reading from verse 7. Psalm 34, we're looking at verse 7. In Psalm 34, verse 7, in answer to, in response to what the man of God told his servant, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. The Lord will deliver you. If there are precious promises we can never prove until we encounter some problems and some pressures. There is a kind of sweet juice of the grapes of grace which can only be pressed out by the hand of providence. There are states of divine companionship which can only be experienced when we find ourselves in situations where human companionship is impossible. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Who will fellowship with them in the fire? Nobody. Who will come to them and counsel them and help them and fellowship and have companionship with them in the furnace of fire? Nobody except the Son of God. And there are some experiences you'll never be able to have until you get to that situation where only God, only Christ, only the Son of God, only the Savior, your Lord and Master can be in partnership, in companionship with you. There is a depth of divine love and intimate fellowship known only to the believers who courageously face the opposition of the world against righteousness. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a fresh understanding of divine, a fresh understanding. By that persecution and by staying in that fire, they had a fresh understanding. Number two, they had a divine contact and companionship. What if they were not in the fire? What if they had compromised? What if they bench the knee? What if they said, okay, Nebuchadnezzar, we're sorry about it. Give us another chance and we'll do what you want. They will never have seen this great companionship and intimate fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, give them an intimate fellowship. Number four, a new revelation of God's power. Who knew that Isaiah chapter 43 verse 2 could be fulfilled literally until these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, took their stand and stood for righteousness? Not only that, number five, it gave them an experience of security and immunity. Number six, a fulfillment of an incredible promise. And then number seven, a supernatural sign and wonder in the furnace which they could not have if they were outside the furnace. They lost nothing inside the furnace. They lost nothing inside the persecution. They lost nothing through the anger of Nebuchadnezzar. But on the other hand, they gained incalculable spiritual wealth. They gained immediate earthly rewards. And they gained heaven's enduring recognition. We lose nothing in the furnace of persecution. Rather, our profit and rewards are abundant in this present life and also in eternity. We're told that Nebuchadnezzar was surprised. He was astonished. He was amazed at what happened. And notice what he said. Number one, he said, did we not cast three men bound into the fiery furnace? Now I see them loose. They are free. They are at liberty. Number two, he said, I see them walking in the fire. Number three, and he said, and they have no hurt, you know. I examine them, I see them, and I snore. Then number four, he said, at the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And then he called the men to look at them. And those men, number five, when they saw them, they saw that the fire had no power on them. Number six, they saw that not even an hair of their head was seen. Number seven, neither was their coat changed. And then number eight, there was no smell of the fire that passed on them at all. You see, as they took their stand, that became an instruction, an encouragement in the climax of the king's confession and declaration. He said, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Any God like our God? Any Savior like our Savior? Any companion like our companion? Any Redeemer like our Redeemer? There's no Redeemer like our Redeemer. There's no rock like our rock. And there's no defender, protector like our defender and protector. He will preserve you and he will help you through life in Jesus' name. Before I move on to the next point, I want to just show you something in passing. Don't forget this. We're looking at Daniel chapter 3, verse 22. Daniel chapter 3, verse 22. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew who? Those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The flame of the fire slew them. Look up here, brothers and sisters. I'll be afraid to run that kind of errand for Nebuchadnezzar. You want to do it, you want to touch the nature of the Lord, go and do it yourself and face the consequences. Don't send me. To touch the anointed of the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, there are people they don't think that what the other people, the king himself will not do, and what this Pharaoh will not do, and what the Herod will not do, they'll say, go after them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, don't send me. I don't want to endanger my life. If anybody sends you to go and hurt Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, say, no, I cannot do it. Go and do it yourself. And go and face the fury and the wrath and the judgment of God. Those who run errands for the wicked people, those who run errands for the seducers, those who run errands for the persecutors of the children of God, they are the people that were born. If you don't burn here, in the fire here, they'll go to the lake of fire, hell, fire forever and ever. Why are you going to go to hell and stay in the fire? Because of another person's errand. If you go to hell by the sin you commit yourself, we understand. But the sin that Nebuchadnezzar wanted to commit, and he said, I'm going to destroy Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he didn't do it himself, and you are his messenger, you are his servant, that will go and lay hold of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and bind them, and then try to throw them into the fire. They died prematurely. They said, you know, when they were leaving home in the morning, they said, my wife, children, are they coming back? Then, before they came back, Nebuchadnezzar said, before you go back home, go and do this. Go and follow this errand. And then they followed. And they were the people to burn first. I pray you'll not die a premature death. You know, there are times that some people say they have an evil spirit, and then they want to touch a man of God, a woman of God, a child of God, and then they want to send this boy or this girl, and they say, you see that man there, go after him. Don't do it. If they want to do it, let them go themselves, because that is fire. I said that is fire. Because he that touches the anointed of the Lord, he touches the apple of his eye. Don't let them send you. Because that can lead you into hellfire prematurely. These people died prematurely. You will not die prematurely. I come to point number three, the promotion of noble conquerors after fearless faithfulness. We're looking at Daniel chapter 3 from verse 28. Daniel chapter 3. Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels. Who has sent who? His angel, and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's words, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak any sin amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Eventually, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, and he blessed the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He had earlier said, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Now, he has come to realize the existence of that God. He has come to realize the power of that God and his involvement in the affairs of men on earth. He referred to God as the Most High God, who has no equal, he has no rival, he has no comparison. For he said, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. The manifestation of God's presence and the demonstration of God's power changed the king's mind. God's faithfulness in response to our faith can change the attitude and life of the most idolatrous wicked sinner. If you will take your stand like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took their stand, you too, you can become an agent of the majesty and the glory of God, that because of your stand and because of your faithfulness and truthfulness, then the people of the world, they will say, there's no other God that can deliver after this sort except the God of heaven. Nebuchadnezzar's God could not deliver or protect the most mighty men that threw those men into the fire. But the Most High God delivered his own servants that trusted him, who would not serve nor worship any God except their own God. Dead idols are impotent. Dead idols are powerless. Dead idols are worthless. But the living God is all-powerful, almighty, omnipotent. Truly, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. So he blessed God for his goodness and his power. But let's notice something about Nebuchadnezzar. See this kind of testimony he gave. And that's sound doctrine. Nebuchadnezzar's praise, Nebuchadnezzar's confession concerning God was doctrinally sound. Not only that, it was widely publicized. He announced everywhere. He said, there is no other God like this. Nebuchadnezzar, that's true. But Nebuchadnezzar, I have a question for you. If you make that public confession, that public declaration, there's no other God like this, what are you doing to your image? You know, you must carry everything to the practical, logical conclusion. When you say something, you follow it through. If you say there's no other God that can deliver, like this God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I want to see the logical conclusion and the practical conclusion. Bring that image down, smash it, crush it, and throw it away. Then I will know that your testimony is for real. That's telling us something. There are some people like Nebuchadnezzar. They can say the right thing. They can quote the right word. And they can talk doctrinally sound. And they can even publicize it. They can stand up in the assembly of the people of God and say, there is no God that can deliver after this sort. And yet, they will not follow it through and repent of their sin. And yet, they will not follow it through and abandon their idol. And yet, they will not follow it through and destroy all those evil things they raised up. And that's why the Lord said, look at Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. And we're looking at verse 31. Ezekiel 33, verse 31. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouths they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. See that? That's Nebuchadnezzar. And many people are like Nebuchadnezzar today. They go to assemblies, they go to conventions, they go to convocations, they go to retreats, they go to whatever it is, and then over there they raise up their hands and they say, this God is great and this God is wonderful. I'm going to tell it everywhere, and they publicize it everywhere. Sometimes they say it on television, sometimes on radio, and they say it everywhere for everybody to hear. How about the idol at home? How about the idol in the heart? How about the sin? How about the polygamy? How about the many women? How about the stealing? How about all the things they're hiding? Carry the confession to a logical conclusion. Don't just say it with the word of mouth. That was the problem of Nebuchadnezzar. He said it with the word of mouth. He did not follow it through with his life. In Isaiah chapter 29, I'm reading verse 13. Isaiah chapter 29. And we're looking at verse 13. Wherefore the Lord says, for as much as these people draw near with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but remove their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among these people, even a marvelous work, and a wonder, for the wisdom of the wise men shall perish. You see that there are some people that go to some meetings today. Sometimes I think it's for political reason. When you have, you know, thousands and thousands of, you know, children of God gathering somewhere, and then you feel that, oh, these people are very many. If I can just go there and identify with them, I think if I need to be voted for, I'll be voted into office again. I think that's why some of these people go there. And then they might make a public declaration, this God is wonderful, and this God is mighty. There's no God like this. Hey, I heard that before from Nebuchadnezzar. His heart did not change. His mind did not change. His idol worship did not change. Show that you are greater than Nebuchadnezzar and abandon the idol. That's what God is looking for. It's not looking for people that will just say it by the word of mouth. He's looking for the people that will have a change of life. And except you be converted, except you be born again, and your life is turned around, you'll not be able to get to the kingdom of God. I will not be like Nebuchadnezzar. You carry your confession, you carry your declaration to the logical conclusion. You say, since there is no God apart from this God, the image I set up, I smash it, I destroy it, I get it out of the way. I'm going to serve the Lord. Then we know that your testimony, your proclamation, your declaration, your confession is for real. Matthew chapter 7 verse 21. In Matthew chapter 7, we're looking at verse 21. It says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that, what? Do it. It's not just to say it. Nebuchadnezzar could say it. Who cannot say it? Anybody can talk. Anybody can publicize. Anybody can proclaim. Anybody can make any confession. But to do it, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. I pray we'll be doers in Jesus' name. I come back to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, and I'm reading the last verse there, verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. The time of your promotion is coming. You see, after you take your stand, after you say, no, I'm not going to worship their idol. I'm not going to yield. I'm not going to compromise. I'm going to be a new creature, a noble conqueror, a non-conformist. And then you take that stand and you say, I will not compromise with the world, whatever they say, whatever they do. And either they're going to act, here is where I stand. After that kind of stand, after that kind of rigid, rigorous, righteous living, the Lord will promote you. Because you see, promotion does not come from the east or from the west. Promotion is from the Almighty God Himself. We're looking at Psalm 75, and I'm reading verse 6 and verse 7. Psalm 75, we're looking at verse 6, Psalm 75. And we're reading from verse 6, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. I pray God will set you up. When you oppose the world, you oppose the corruption in the world, you oppose all the compromising spirit in the world, and you have the spirit of a conqueror and the spirit of a non-conformist, the new creature, a noble conqueror, and say, I'm going to stand for righteousness, and you keep on standing. At the end of it, all promotion will come. In Psalm 91, I'm reading from verse 14. Psalm 91, verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he has known my name, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. God will answer your prayer. I will be with him in trouble. He'll be with you in that trial. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Premature death? I said premature death? No! That's what Nebuchadnezzar wanted for. He said, you'll die before your time. I told you to bow down to the idol. And you will find I will so torment you, I'll throw you into that very furnace, and you will die before your time. And the people who see you die before your time, they'll never dare me anymore. But do you see that they didn't die? You will not die. Nebuchadnezzar is not mighty, not powerful enough to kill you. You will live your full days. Because it's for the people that are faithful. It's for the people that dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. And he said, I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to go back to the world. I'm going to take my stand for the Lord. Those are the people. And the Lord will see that you have that long life in Jesus' name. With long life, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation? He will show it to you. In Genesis chapter 41, chapter 41, verse 39. Genesis chapter 41, verse 39. It says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, and there is none so discreet and wise as thou art, thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. You know, the persecutors, here comes the dreamer. Let us kill him and see what will become of his dream. They wanted to kill him, but God said no. If God says no to your enemy, there's nothing they can do. If he says no to Satan, there's nothing he can do. And if he says no to those people having the power of darkness over anybody, but not over you, it will not hold. God said no to the persecutors of Joseph, and now God promoted him. God will promote you. All the Lord is waiting for is that you'll take your stand. You will not compromise with the people of the world. You'll say, here I stand. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to yield to the will of Nebuchadnezzar or an idol worshipper or to the will of society. I'm going to do the will of God all my life, and the Lord will be by your side. Why don't you stand up and tell the Lord, oh Lord, I'm going to take my stand, and I'm going to keep on standing for righteousness, earnestly contending for the faith was delivered unto the saints. I'm not going to allow the threats of Nebuchadnezzar or Pharaoh or Herod or anybody to so frighten me, intimidate me, that I'll be crushed under their boots. I'm going to stand for righteousness. Only then will the Lord himself promote.
For further information, contact www.deeperlifeonline.com. Info at